Otakuology Podcast with Otaku Mike Engine Graves.
Hey guys, what's up? Jin here, back with another episode of the Otakuology Podcast, best podcast in the world, at least in Otaku Mike's opinion.
Blah, blah, what do you say? Blah, 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 the world? That's what I heard.
The world. And world.
You're like blah, 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 what if, the world.
What if all the famous lines that we know or that we think we know and from movies, you know, did that? Like it was like, father, what did you say? I said, Luke, father. Oh my gosh. That would be horrible. I would hate movies if they all went.
Yeah, that would definitely be true. On that, yeah.
Especially, well, you know the worst part about it is really if you were watching it with somebody and they understood that.
Everybody would sound like Charlie Brown's, the parents of Charlie Brown. Yeah.
God, that would suck. Just plain suck. But anyway, let's get into it. We're talking about the Netflix movie Paper Tigers, which is
it's called The Paper Tigers.
Hey, buddy.
The at the beginning.
People don't always use the.
This movie does.
You don't walk around and go, The X-Men.
Yeah, I do.
They can be cut off, okay.
Okay, fine. Whatever. Let's agree to disagree, loser.
Yeah. Hey, I'm just trying to save myself a couple seconds of life by not using the.
The.
What if you went around the otaku?
Yes. The otaku Mike.
Hello, I'm the otaku Mike, and you shake hands with me. The Otaku Mike. Oh, Taco Mike. No, call me the Otaku Mike.
No, you say that, but like my Instagram handle, I think, is The Otaku Mike.
Oh my god.
Because I think there are other Otaku Mikes out there.
So you're not like Otaku Mike 97 or anything?
No, I didn't want to do that shit.
Otaku Mike 62.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, you could always be Otaku Mike 69.
That is true.
But back to subject. We're talking about a Netflix martial arts movie. It's about 2 hours, right?
I think so.
So, and this is really good. I feel like it has a lot of like Karate Kid feel to it. Would you agree with that?
I mean, like Karate Kid / Three Ninjas.
Yeah.
Vibes. Yeah.
I'd agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I really enjoy how this movie kind of starts out too, because we have these three kids that are learning how to do kung fu. What
they call it? They call it gung fu.
Yeah, gung fu. They're like,
which I was a little confused. I was like, isn't it kung fu? But they had to correct me on that.
Yeah. So I think it's kind of how in Shintoism you have Tao, T-A-O. Yeah. Uh-huh. But you actually pronounce it as Tao.
Okay.
So I think it's just, you know.
And I like this opening sequence where we had like a montage, but it was all sort of filmed through video cameras.
Yeah.
And we got to see them progress in age and, you know, go from kids to teenagers to sort of young adults, and seeing how like their gung fu got better and how they would go and fight in these almost like street fights, but they had like rules to them. What was it called? The thing that they did? They would fight with other people, but they would also fight with other schools.
Yeah. You could challenge people and it was whatever. The only thing I can relate this to that I actually remember is like in Shaolin Showdown, the show on Cartoon Networks where they would have a Ginyu Boudair.
Yeah, it was kind of like that. They called it Baumo, I think it was called.
Yeah, I kept trying to call it BMO.
It was like BMO Baumo or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's why I can't remember it, because every time I heard it, I was like, BMO?
BMO. BMO.
And I was like, BMO's from like a Disney movie or something. I'm never going to remember this word.
But you know how I love my montages. And this was a good opening montage to see and learn about our three main characters, essentially.
Right. This is true.
Yeah, and how they grow, and we learn about them, and they become kind of cocky almost, because they become the best in like their field of martial arts, and they're gonna go off to fight in Japan in a tournament, and that's where we kind of leave it at, if I remember correctly.
Yeah,
at the beginning, right?
Yeah.
But that never happens.
It does happen.
It does, but it doesn't. Like Danny, one of the main characters, never actually fights in Japan.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they went to Japan. He like ran off or something.
Yeah, he ran off for his nerves. For reasons, I don't remember if they state what those reasons are. Exactly.
I think he just said like the tension was high or whatever, and he couldn't get focused.
Maybe.
Cause that plays, the focusing part for him plays into the movie later on.
Yeah.
But yeah, we have Danny, which is our main kid. He's usually the one that kind of like goes out of his way to do stuff. When we see him as a little kid, they're having trouble standing on paint cans. And, Sifu actually gets him to come over, and we find out that basically he got in one of these BMOs.
The BMO, the Baumo fights. The fights.
And,
sanctioned street fights.
He ended up winning and everything, but the problem is he had his ankle dislocated and was walking around on it.
That's got to take a lot to walk on a dislocated ankle.
That's true.
Like, that scene, like, fucking... I winced when I saw that scene where he like pulled it back into place. He was like, here,
so but, like, if you ever see chiropractor videos, you wince those too.
No, not really. It's just when it's like something's dislocated or popped out, kind of thing.
Okay.
Because I think of like, what if I had to go through that? If my arm was like flopping around or whatever, The chiropractor videos don't matter because sometimes those are funny.
Yeah. This makes me think whenever somebody gets their their neck popped or whatever, and you see them start like 2 feet away, and the person pulls them, and they end up on the other side of the thing, and you're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
How did you move them 2 feet?
Yeah, but we go to modern day, which is like, what was it, like 25 years later, 30 years later? I think it was 25 years. Because they start out in 86, I believe.
Because I think total they're like over 40-something.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Because then we have Hing.
Yeah, we have Hing.
Hing is like the nerdy guy. He's the one that wears glasses a lot. And going from there. And then we have Jim, which Jim is the African-American kid, I guess, was their friend in high school or middle school or something.
Yeah, they were friends.
Joining Sifu.
Yeah, they were all friends, I believe.
So, yeah.
And, they joined it's not a dojo, it's a school, like, or school, whatever they call it,
Yeah, they call it a school path.
They call it, like, a clan, I believe.
Yeah.
Like, we're from different clans at one point, they say. I like how we see them fighting, like, rivals and stuff. And, they have a rivalry with one particular character in this movie, which is really funny. And we see like 25 years has passed. Danny is now a father, and he's going to go spend time with this kid. He's a divorced dad, and was his wife or his ex-wife a girl? The girl in the montage beforehand.
I don't think so.
Okay, because I was a little confused on that part.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But I'm not sure too if they're divorced or separated.
I think they're getting divorced or separated, and they're working on like whatever custody agreement.
Yeah.
Like I think they might be in like the midst of it, you know.
Yeah.
Like figuring it out, you know, because he talks about 50-50 custody and how she was going along with it, but he's not keeping up his end of the bargain. And, you know.
Right.
He's very much more like work is. He gets really distracted by work and stuff. It seems like he doesn't really have time for his kid.
Right.
You know.
But yeah, we have that. We also have where we see Sifu, who's older, and somebody actually attacks him in an alleyway. And that's kind of where we're left off after we see Danny and everything in the future, that that he gets called by Hing because Sifu has died.
No, he doesn't get called by him. Hing goes to see Danny.
I thought he left him a message on the phone.
I mean, he might have left a message, but he doesn't find out until Hing shows up at Danny's house.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought he left him a message, too, saying that, but then he ended up having to go to his house because he wasn't answering the phone.
I mean, he might have. I'm not 100% sure. I don't know on that part. But yeah, they haven't seen each other in years, it's been. And they had the Tigers had a falling out, and we find out that Danny is the successor to the clan that they're a part of.
Yeah.
And they go to the funeral, and they see these punk kids being very disrespectful at the funeral. They're claiming the Tiger's Sifu as their Sifu.
Yeah.
And, you know, that we meet the other school, which is, I don't remember what the other school is, but I remember their master being like Sifu Wong, I believe.
Yeah.
He was called.
I think they both practiced the same things, but they had just different teaching ways.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Carter was under that one.
Yeah, Carter was their rival. And I love the interactions between them because they haven't seen each other for years. And he's very much kept with his studies.
Yeah.
And he's like bulked up, and he's back in the day, he would always lose. He always lost. And he very much seems like one of those people, like, you know, you would meet in like college who very much goes for the like Japanese studies or Chinese studies and like fully like engrosses themselves into like the culture.
Yeah.
That's what Carter seemed like to me.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think from my interpretation of Carter, it seems that he is very like monkish because he tries to like learn all the words and sound like really like philosophical and everything.
Yeah.
But then be strong at the same time. So it's just a lot of times I felt really weird when he would quote something in Chinese and it was like, okay.
Well, I like the running speak joke
of the English.
I like the running joke in this where they say, hey, we don't understand what you're saying. Speak English.
Yeah.
Like it's a running joke throughout this movie.
Right. Yeah.
Like it's more like, you know, if you don't use it, you lose it type of situation, and they don't know like Cantonese or whatever, Mandarin, whatever they're speaking, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and his were all like proverbs and stuff from different things, which I always thought it was funny too, because he like handed them out, you know, like, yeah. Tried to like use his hands to depict what was going
on. Yeah. It's very much like he got a bunch of fortune cookies and just memorized all the fortunes or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, cause they call him like a walking fortune cookie at one point.
Yeah.
I believe, or something like that, you know? And their school is non-existent anymore because they walked away from it, you know, and
it was also out of a garage, so
yeah, it was also out of a garage. It wasn't like an official school. I think I don't know if their Sifu made any money off of this, because he was also teaching martial arts.
I don't think so. I think he made all his money just from cooking Chinese food.
Yeah, he was like a cook. And
which is how the delinquent guys that came to the funeral actually knew Sifu. They actually worked with him at this restaurant.
And they wanted them to teach them how to do like his style of gung fu and be their gung fu master. And but they don't have a master. Like, they're, what do they call them? Like, masterless gung fu delinquents or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like a Ronin for samurai. You know, they don't have anybody to show them.
Yeah.
But I thought it was pretty cool where their hideout was, too, because it seemed like really... That was the other thing I think I enjoyed about this, is it was very, like, late 90s.
Yeah, it does. Like, yeah,
kung fu movies,
but it was like set in like modern day.
Yeah,
and which is funny because, so I love, Carter puts them on the trail of these delinquents and says, "Hey, maybe these delinquent guys did it," you know, and they go off to find Jim, and we find Jim has like, was that his like MMA boxing gym?
I believe so. And he's like, either that or it was like you kind of rented space.
Yeah, and he's working there now. And we see this part where Hing, which I liked Hing. I liked all these characters. But
I did Hing, too. It seemed like even though they all kind of had like the same like upbringing that they had, that none of them seemed like they were like each other.
Yeah, they weren't like each other, and they were all kind of very much flawed characters in a way.
Oh,
which,
yeah.
Which yeah. made them really likable.
Yeah, because one of the things we forgot to mention is Hing actually has a brace on his leg, and we found out that, like, 5 years ago in the past of modern day, he actually fell off some scaffolding and ended up... basically like doing a good amount of damage to his leg where he has to have the brace to help him walk and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. So he kind of has like a handicap in that situation. But I like this part where he kind of like starts talking smack, but he is right about it. About the guy's kick and the way his form is. He's like kicking like a heavy bag. And I love the interaction between him and the old trainer. I don't remember what the trainer's name is. He's like, come get over here. Like, he was like, do you have asshole blindness? I think it was, he said. Yeah. Can't you see I'm teaching, you know? And Hing gets in and starts to try to show you how to actually kick. And he kind of whiffs it. And that's when Jim comes into a picture and they end up patching things up for Sifu and going on this quest to find out what exactly happened to their Sifu. And then we get to the...
And it much kind of turns into a detective movie after that.
Yeah, very much so. Not, like, fully a detective movie, but it is... I would say there are elements of a detective movie, like a mystery as afoot, you know?
Yeah.
And I love this scene.
There's a Jackie Chan detective movie.
I love this scene where they do confront the thugs, or the gung-fu thugs, you know?
Yeah.
And they're practicing in like this abandoned pool.
Yeah.
And they start talking smack to him, like, oh, it's the paper tigers, you know, blah, 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 you're old and fat. And one of them throws the N-word at Jim, which makes Jim really upset.
I was like, excuse me?
Yeah, he was like, I'm gonna kill you.
Right, yeah.
But they need information. They're the closest people to their Sifu, and they're gonna do a BAMO fight, which is 3-on-3. What it seems like the BAMO kind of changed. It had different rules at different times.
It depends on what the set rules are, because you talk about it ahead of time. Is it a BAMO 3-on-3?
Uh-huh.
Or is it a 1-on-1?
Yeah.
And then you just agree, you know, is it one round? Is it, you know, three rounds? Because, like, we see when they're younger, most of the time a BAMO is only one round, one person.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we see this one where it's three people, one round. And then towards the end of the movie, we see 1-on-1, three rounds, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
So it all just kind of depends on what you agree with and things like that, I guess.
Yeah, and like the last time we see it, like, they switch off. So like, one round, there's an attacker, and you can't get hit. And then the next person attacks, and you can't get hit. Like, that's how you win the round.
Yeah.
And stuff, you know. But this fight was crazy. Like, I liked the choreography in this this movie. I loved this fight. It was funny. Like, it had a nice comedic element to it.
Yeah.
And Danny just gets like knocked the fuck out. Like, you could tell he is definitely rusty. In the situation. And I love how they like revive him with like gung fu, like healing techniques.
Yes.
Where it's almost like his soul left his body and he like, or gets knocked out, and they like revive him.
You know what this reminded me of?
What?
Like in Doctor Strange or whatever with the Ancient One, when she would hit the people and their soul would come out.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see that.
That's what it would remind me of. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
They're getting their soul knocked out again.
Boop. Yeah, no, I can totally see that. But yeah, Danny gets his ass kicked. He gets knocked out. Then Hing goes in, and Hing does win, but he does have trouble. Did you see his hair move at the beginning of the fight?
Yeah.
I thought that part was funny, where the guy points it out, and he's like, oh, I gotta fix my hair. And it's a... we find out later it's a toupee.
Hing no longer has no hair.
Yeah, Hing has no hair. And he ends up winning. And the next one is probably the funniest, which is Carter. And Carter kind of seemed like to forget his training almost. Because he did learn other martial arts. Jim.
And so if you notice on the door, you know what it kind of turned into a little bit, which makes sense. But they really bring it out. If you miss that, what it said on the door and everything, this is where you really see what it was, because they actually bring it up. After the whole thing with Danny in Japan, he actually kind of like left all of that gung fu behind.
Yeah.
And he might have used it like a little bit, but then he really went for more of Krav Maga.
Krav Maga, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, you know, stuff like that.
Because I think they also, because we also see him showing somebody like how to box. So
yeah.
I mean, he's got a couple different things.
Yeah,
but I love where they're getting ready, because before you do everything, you do like your form, your stance, to kind of show off, and we see the other guy.
I forgot it. I don't know.
Yeah, we're seeing the other guy that does his, and then he kind of turns around. He's like, I forgot mine. I forgot how to do that. I don't know. And everybody's just kind of sitting there, like the delinquents and the other two are like, "What the fuck, man?"
Yeah, like, "What the fuck? What the fuck's going on?" You know.
So
yeah, but he ends up winning. Right, he ends up winning. Right.
Yeah, both of them win.
Yeah, because he ends up like choking the guy out.
Yeah, he puts him in a sleeper hold.
Yeah, seeing the clashes of styles was a really nice, like, juxtaposition, you know, to see, like, you know, the gung fu versus, like, the Krav Maga Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, you know, because...
well, and then the different kinds of, like, the gung fu, like, you could very much tell that between, Danny's kind of team and everybody, that there was more of a structure thing versus the delinquents, because all of theirs were like these big flashy moves and everything else, versus like Carter's school and how it stuck with the main five animals of Kung Fu. And then him, you know, like naming it off, you know, as he did it. So
yeah.
Everybody kind of got to have their own little style, I guess, to what gung fu they had.
Yeah, that's true. And they do win, and they have like little heart to heart with the delinquents, and they find out that they wanted to become his students, but he would not take them on whatsoever. Right. He wouldn't bring on new students, and he wouldn't teach them, you know. He gave up martial arts, right?
He gave up teaching a lot of people because of them.
Because they had he had ungrateful students before.
Yeah,
because they like basically abandoned him.
Right,
and like went off and did their own thing. Except for Hing. Hing didn't really abandon him. But he did.
Hing was with him for a while, and then after Hing's problem and the shit that happened with Danny and Sifu, it took him out of wanting to teach anybody anything. So the only thing him and Hing really practiced were that the healing hand things for gung fu.
Yeah.
And medicine practice, I think, is what the other thing he said.
Yeah.
So I mean, it just really took out of Sifu, and then Hing just one day decided that he wasn't going to go to something, and kind of just realized that it was easier to do that, and he still had intentions to go see Sifu, but then it just, you know, a day turned into a week, turned into a month, turned into a year.
Yeah.
And he hadn't seen Sifu in like 2 years, I believe, was what they said.
I think so. I think that's what it was.
So.
But they end up leaving there, going back to Carter, right? In Carter's school?
Yeah, because they were pissed off. Carter originally put them on the trail to go after the delinquents.
Yes.
And they went back because after that, everybody kind of sat back and thought about it and knew that basically Carter had lied to them.
He set them up.
Yeah, to go attack these delinquent guys.
Yeah.
And so they were going back to confront Carter about that and everything else.
Yeah, and this is where we have another BMO, or BAMO, fight with Carter and the three of them. And this fight is a lot of fun. I love this fight. Because you can definitely tell the rivalry between them. And Carter fucking hates their guts. Like, he can't stand them whatsoever. like there's like a true rivalry between them, especially him and Danny.
Yes.
Carter and Danny, man, they're like oil and fire. You know,
oil and water, sorry.
And I love the fights. Like he takes out Jim, he takes out Hing, and when he takes out Hing, we find out that Hing is bald now, and I love the thing where Carter takes his wig and puts it as almost like a trophy on his weapon.
Yeah.
that he had, which is really funny. And he almost takes out Danny, or he kind of does take out Danny as well. And that's when he gets stopped by his Sifu. Is it Sifu Wong?
Yeah,
Sifu Wong.
And I mean, but he also has like good words of, I wouldn't say advice, but yeah. He also has good words for all of Mike. When he fights Jim, he really gets onto him. He's like, you've lost your way, you know. You decided to go with all of these flashier styles or whatever, and you've lost your gung fu.
Yeah.
You know, with Hing, he's like, you focus on your cosmetic stuff too much, you know, and don't really think, you know, things through. And then, you know, Danny gets up there, and he's like, Danny, you just, you know,
you lost everything.
Nothing for it. Yeah.
Yeah, you lost everything, you know. But we do find out that there was somebody challenging all the Sifu masters, the Gung Fu masters around town, and Carter ended up getting a letter. Right, he got a letter, and he basically chickened out.
Yeah, he left the lights off and waited in a dark dojo for the person to leave.
But supposedly. Their Sifu took on another apprentice, like another student. And yeah. He like basically went rogue and started taking on all the other schools.
Yes.
And we find out that's who actually killed Sifu.
Yes.
Because we end up finding out that he is a gung fu assassin, as they called him.
Yes.
He uses the poison finger technique.
Yes. Yes, yes, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and I mean, that's one of the other things, too, that we're told, you know, that Sifu wasn't really teaching anybody, because they asked Hing if he had ever learned the poison finger. And he said no, you know, that's, yeah. That wasn't something, they just practiced the healing stuff. And so for him to actually do that, it gets a little crazy.
Yeah.
But they go to like, I guess it's like an underground training gym, kind of, sort of. Yeah.
You said it was for like journeymen, like, and it was run by like the triad or something?
Yeah. Which yeah, this is probably one of the parts that I thought was really hilarious.
Oh yeah,
because they all were walking and they just hear how the person's kicking the bag, which is what we got alluded to was going to happen when Hing first went into Jim's kind of like dojo sparring area and everything.
Yeah.
And as you see them walking in, they just all start stopping.
yeah they start stopping and listening, like, oh, is that him? Nope, that's not the sound. Then they hear the sound. You know, the sound, like, it's like the snap of the bag, you know. And like, okay, it was cool to see how, like, that's how they knew how the person was, or who the person was, you know?
Yeah.
Like, just by listening.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they end up going to, like, this Chinese restaurant, right?
Yeah.
And Hing goes to the bathroom and he's in there with the guy that they're following, and he uses the poison finger technique, and then
but when you see it, it looks like it's just a pat on the back.
Yeah, it looks like it's just a pat on the back, and then like moments later, The guy goes back to his table. He like fucking dies.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. I love the scene where they could go to confront this gung-fu assassin.
Outside the little restaurant thing?
Yes. And yeah. They're like, well, how'd you stop him? Like, we kicked over his motorcycle.
Yeah.
But you did what?
Kicked it over. Now he can't leave.
Yeah, now he can't leave.
He'll be stuck here, you know?
Yeah. Which is not true whatsoever.
No, this dude was, like, super strong.
Oh, so fucking strong, man. Like, he was crazazy.
And then, you know, there's parts that we're actually leaving out, which are when the Danny's ex-wife or whatever calls him and talks about, oh, you know, what's all this, you know?
Yeah.
And where his priority lies of trying to get all this stuff with Shifu instead of, you know, spending time with his little boy.
Yeah, and he's like, she's like, oh, I need you to go pick him up. He's like, oh, right now's not a good time. You know, I got to do this. And they have a challenge for 10 o'clock on the pier. And we find out that he is actually, this gung-fu guy is also the, what do they call it? They called it something specific. So the Daihing?
Oh, the Dasahing?
Yeah, Dasahing, yeah. Which that was supposed to be Danny. Yeah. And then Danny goes to pick up his kid from school. His kid got into a fight. You know, he has to do the whole thing about explaining to his kid's mom that, you know, what are we going to do? You know, how are we going to do this? You know, like, it's just.
Yeah.
The whole thing about lying to. Telling his kid to lie and stuff and whatnot, you know. Which is a very sad moment to. Because it makes Danny to looks like makes Danny be like a really selfish asshole.
Yeah. I mean, and then he kind of redeems himself a little bit because he's like, well, let me tell you what really happened.
Yeah, let me tell you what really happened.
You know? But, I mean, he kind of does it for himself and then to not, you know, which. I also like, too, that he was trying to say, you know, why is he getting in trouble for somebody beating him up?
Yeah, because he was defending somebody.
Yeah, but he didn't, you know, he didn't even, like, fight, really. You know, and that was another thing with that, really. And her getting mad at him and everything else and then not letting him, like, say bye to Danny, you know, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, no, it was. It definitely was. Yeah. And so, Hing goes... Well, they end up having, like, a break. They break... They end up, like, falling out. Because they all know that they're not going to be able to win. And they, you know... They're out of shape, you know? They're not the people who they used to be.
Right.
And so they all separate. Hing goes off to fight... This guy, I don't remember if he gets a name. He goes out to fight this guy. I don't know, remember what Jim does. But Danny goes just to be with his kid and stuff and talk to his wife. And Hing gets beat up so fucking bad. I thought they killed him.
Yeah.
Like, I thought he ended up dying, but that's not true because he ended up being thrown on Carter's school and it's basically said, I don't want number two, I want number one, you know, or two before, one before two, you know. And that's when, like,
his name is Hin Fan.
That's his name?
Yeah.
I had no idea what his name was the whole movie.
They must have, like, brought it up once and we just never caught it. Because I didn't know that either. I was like, what?
Wow. That's something else.
Yeah.
But yeah, they end up meeting up again and doing one final BMO fight. This was cool. I liked this fight. Although I feel like Jim kind of got the short end of the stick on this part because he had no real involvement in the BMO fight.
Yeah.
He was kind of just there. I guess if Danny lost, would Jim have to fight?
No, he said that if it happened that he was going to throw both of them off the roof.
Yeah, because it was like on top of the roof.
Yeah. No, I really think that the biggest reason why Jim was there was it was a semblance of them taking their Japan trip again.
Uh-huh.
You know, both of them in it together.
Yeah.
Because Hayden wasn't the one that got chosen to do the Japan thing. You know, it was...
He was like the second.
Yeah.
Like the substitute, basically.
Yeah. But it was Jim and Danny. And so I felt that. And then they kind of reconciled a little bit talking about that, you know.
Yeah.
Sorry, you know, I didn't have the nerves to do that and some other stuff. And,
yeah,
you know. So more of that really comes out that we can see.
Yeah. No, I like the... this whole fight, because Danny kind of like Danny's trying to get his groove back, I guess you could say, and he's very much unsure about what he's gonna do, how he's gonna do this, he's gonna die, you know. There's a whole part where Jim gives him like special pills. The special pills turn out to be just sugar pills. It's like a whole placebo effect thing, you know. And I love this. Yeah. This fight was really good. Like, I liked it. Like, you could tell, like, Danny was, like, having to overcome some shit. Because he was outmatched in a lot of ways.
Most def.
Yeah. It was crazy because he had to attack the guy. I don't remember what his name is. And then... if he hit him, he would win that round. And then it would reverse. Yeah, Fan. It would reverse, and then Fan would try to hit Danny. And then at the end, they'd do like an all-out fight.
Yeah.
And, man, I felt like after the whole fight, and like Fan breaks gets his neck broken and becomes paralyzed. I was like,
I don't think he got his neck broken.
What was it?
I think Danny did not the poison finger, but I think he did something else like that, and it actually paralyzed Fan. Because you know, if you were watching it, when the cop says hello, hello, or the 911 dispatcher, hello, hello. And then it's like, okay, we're going to send people on your way. He's trying to struggle to reach for the phone. He's trying to struggle to say something. And I think just how he was hit made him unable to move and unable to talk.
Okay, okay. I thought maybe he hit like a wall and I heard like a cracking sound. I thought he broke his neck and paralyzed himself.
Yeah.
That's what I thought happened. But yeah, it was fucking brutal. Like, it was brutal to, like, the fight was, like, it was a brutal fight.
It was.
Yeah. But I love the ending where they're all, like, at the community center, and they're helping out this part of the town. You know, Hing's doing medicine, Jim's teaching like self-defense, I think. And then I'm a little confused on this part. Did Danny reopen the school? And was his son his first student?
I think he was training his son how to do stuff.
Okay. Okay.
But they were putting it on YouTube. So
yeah, they were. And they're famous now. They're Well, they were famous before, but, like, they're famous in not a disgraceful way, I guess. Yeah. You know. Yeah. And that's how our movie ends. Let me ask you, what did you think about this movie?
I really liked it.
Right? It was fun.
Yeah. I mean, especially coming off of watching and being a big fan of a bunch of other kind of martial arts movies and stuff.
Uh-huh.
It was fun, and I think it made it even better because it wasn't so much, oh, hey, you know, we're filming a movie of these people that are supposed to be at, like, their peak performance and everything. Which we're filming not. It, you know, we're filming it of your average modern day. Because, I mean, even, like, old guys that you see in some Asian movies and stuff are still like, oh, you know, like, they still have these tricks that you're like, what?
Yeah, it very much plays with the tropes of, like, martial arts films.
Yes.
And it plays with your expectations because you think they're going to do good and, like, they pull a hamstring or, you know, or something happens, they get hurt, you know, like, they're not what they once used to be.
Yeah. I mean, like, Hing is a walking disaster in and of himself, so.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
He's like, I'm going to throw a kick. Oh, wait, I can't do it, you know?
Yeah, so he is more like hand-to-hand type of combat, you know? So he didn't really kick that much.
No, I really feel like he wasn't even like the fighter. He was more of just the support healer of the group.
I think he became the support healer because of his injuries.
Yeah.
Because they even mention at one point, like, Jim's the best one they got. And Jim doesn't remember his gung fu.
Right. And they think that.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, because he is the most physically fit out of all of them. But yeah, I thought this was fun. Like, I enjoyed all the characters. I did feel like my only real complaint is the bad guy didn't get a lot of development. And he seemed very like one note, like, type of bad guy. Like, it was very like a paper thin bad guy, you know. He wasn't like a
and this is true,
anything special.
I mean, he didn't really have on screen character development. It was all off screen.
I mean, he only shows up halfway through the movie.
Not even that, you know? I'd say, you know, the last one third.
Yeah, he doesn't show up, like, you know. But, like, I enjoyed it. Like, it was a fun movie.
Yes.
The characters were very relatable.
Like, I think I only had really one complaint out of the whole thing.
What was that? Because you told me you had a complaint about it, and I want to hear what that was.
So, my complaint was the whole kind of dad part with Danny. You know, he tried to argue with Hing that he was a good dad and all this other stuff, and then right at the end, like, trying to, like, settle up, I felt like that kind of went against his character from what we had seen starting out.
Uh-huh.
And it just really, I think it kind of watered his character down a little bit.
You're talking about, like, when he was settling up because he thought he was going to die. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was going off to do the fight.
Yeah.
He was in the car calling his kid.
Yes.
Okay. How so? Like, why do you think that?
Just because I think he didn't really try and, like, push anything further into it. You know, like, we see him as being this character before, and even if he lost it, you know, he kind of lost the cockiness, I guess, as well.
Yeah.
And him trying to somewhat try and get it back, I just think that it just never was cohesive enough with his character in the future, with how we kind of saw him throughout the movie.
Yeah.
So that was probably about my only complaint about
that. I can see that, but I didn't have, like, a real problem with that, you know?
Yeah.
It was that.
Yeah, but I mean, I did think, you know, it did take a lot of balls, especially with how you and I have to cooperate with somebody else. Yeah. Of him really getting on the phone and being like,
yeah,
I'm a horrible parent. You know, you're like, the better one.
It's very relatable. Like, you know, that part was very relatable, you know?
It is, you know?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, at least for me and you, I think that you and I are probably better parents than the other two. But, you know, that's never going to get said or whatever.
That's here nor there, you know?
Yeah. Stubborn people.
Yeah.
But...
yeah, no, I had a lot of fun with this movie. It was a nice change of pace. You know, it wasn't. To me, it didn't feel like your typical martial arts movie.
Yeah,
and that's what I kind of liked about it. You know, but I haven't watched a martial arts movie in quite some time. You know, a lot of mine are from like the 90s that I watched. So, I mean, you know, things have changed.
You bet he watches a lot of martial arts movies.
Okay.
So, that's about it. I mean, I really enjoy them in, you know, historical, medieval type pieces of movies. So,
yeah.
That's usually all the ones that I get. Or superheroes.
Definitely recommend checking this one out. This one was a fun ride. It was fun.
Yes, I would highly recommend this to everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody should check it out and try it.
Yeah.
But anyway, guys, thanks for listening. Check out some of our other episodes and whatnot. And as always, see you next Tuesday. Now me and Mike have to have a, what was the word again? Gumbow?
Bamo?
Yeah, we got to have a BAMO.
Okay.